Penguin Random House Canada presents an audio production of Who Has Seen the Wind by W. O. Mitchell, abridged and read for you by the author.
Many interpreters of the Bible believe the wind to be symbolic of godhood. In this story, I've tried to present sympathetically the struggle of a boy to understand what still defeats mature and learned men, the ultimate meaning of the cycle of life. To him are revealed in moments of fleeting vision the realities of birth, hunger, satiety, eternity, death. There are moments when an inquiring heart seeks finality and the chain of darkness is broken. This is the story of a boy and the wind. Here was the least common denominator of nature, the skeleton requirements simply of land and sky, Saskatchewan prairie. It lay wide around the town, stretching tan to the far line of the sky, shimmering under the June sun, and waiting for the unfailing visitation of wind. Gentle at first, barely stroking the long grasses and giving them life. Later, a long, hot gusting that would lift the black topsoil and pile it in barrow pits along the roads or in deep banks against the fences. Where the snow white of alkali edged the course of the river, a thin trickle of water made its way toward the town low upon the horizon. The town was made up largely of frame buildings, with high peaked roofs, each with an expanse of lawn in front and a garden in the back. Lawn sprinklers sparkled in the sun. Russian poplars stood along either side of 6th Street. 5 houses up from McTaggart's corner stood the O'Connell House, 3-storied house, lifting high above the white cottage to the left of it. A tricycle with its front wheel sharply turned stood in the middle of the walk. The tricycle belonged to Brian Sean McMurray O'Connell, the 4-year-old son of Gerald O'Connell, druggist, and Maggie O'Connell, formerly Maggie McMurray of Trossachs, Ontario. Brian at the moment was in the breakfast room. He sat under the table at the window, imagining himself to be an ant deep in a dark cave. Ants, he decided, saw things tiny and grass-colored, and his father and mother would never know about it. He hated his father and his mother and his grandmother for spending so much time with the baby, for making it a blanket tent and none for him. Not that he cared. He didn't need anyone to play with him now that he was an ant. He was a smart ant. He hadn't asked Dr. Svarich, with his bitter smell, to play with him. He'd never again ask anyone to play with him. He'd make them wish they'd never been mean to him. Brian! His grandmother stood high above him. Looking up to her, he could see her face turned down. He could see the dark velvet band circling high around her throat, hooping in the twin folds of skin that hung down from under her chin. Light stabbed out from her silver-rimmed glasses. "I told you to go outside!" He crawled from under the table and stood by her hand with large liver spots spattering its back and blue veins writhing under the thin skin. Her hand had great knotted knuckles. "When her stomach sang after dinner," he promised himself, "he wouldn't listen. I'll not speak to you again." The loose folds of her cheek shook slightly as she spoke. The whiny bouquet of tonic was about her. It reminded him of apples. "If you stay inside, You'll disturb the baby. You must go out. Can I have a tent like the baby has? You cannot. 'Tis bad enough having the baby ill without. Is he ill bad? Aye, said his grandmother. Now, be a good boy, and do as you're told. He'd get Jake Harris, the town policeman, after her. He hoped Jake would bring his policeman's knife and chop her into little pieces and cut her head off, too, for making him go outside to play. He stood on the step of the back porch a moment, feeling the warmth of the sun against his cheek. The wind was beginning to arise now that it was late afternoon, delicately active about his ears and at his nostrils. Slowly he walked to the sand pile by the high Carrigana hedge. He hated his grandma. She made him go out to a sand pile where there was nobody but an old shovel to play with. Reflectively he stared down at the sand hump in one corner of the box. Hey, it's like an ant pile. Maybe if he waited, an ant might come out of it. He watched impatiently. And then, as no ant emerged, he took up the shovel that lay at his feet, and he hit the bump. He wished it was his grandma. He hit the bump again, being careful it was with the sharp edge and not the flat bottom of the shovel. He was hitting his grandma so awful she was bawling her head off. He stopped. Directly opposite him, low in the hedge, was a round, freckled face. It's a new face to him. He began again to punish the sand pile. The boy came to the edge of the sand pile. Hedge leaves hung to his sweater and to his hat. It was a blue sailor hat bearing the legend HMS Thunderbolt. It had got twisted round so the ribbon hung down his snub nose. I'm coming into the sand pile. As he stepped over, Brian saw that his knees were scratched, that his hands were fat, with deep crease lines at the wrists, like the baby's. Let me hit some, the boy said. No, I'm Benny Banana. Benny Banana, Benny Banana, chanted Brian. Banana, Benny Banana. The boy sat down. He picked up a thin pebble from the sand. What's your name? Brian plumped himself down by the boy. Brian Sean McMurray O'Connell, he said. I'm Forbesy Hoffman. I'm hungry. Maybe if you was to ask, your ma'd give us a piece. The baby's going to heaven, explained Brian. My dad's a conductor, Forbesy said, on a CPR. He's got silver buttons. It's where God stays, Brian said. It's heaven. No, it ain't, said Forbesy. He lifted his arm and pointed. God lives right in town. Over there. I seen him lots of times. Where? At his house? You have not. Oh, yeah. He's all grapes and bloody. He carries around a lamb. Brian got up. Hey, let's go over to his place. Forbesy got up. I guess I'll go home. I don't feel so much like going. I got something to say to him, Brian said. I'm going to get him after my grandma. Now you show me where he lives. All right, Forbesy said. The wind had strengthened. It had begun to snap the clothes on Sherry's line, where Mrs. Sherry, a tall, spare woman, was in the act of hanging up her washing. She took a clothespin from her mouth. How's the baby today, Brian? He's very sick. This is Forbesy. We're going to see someone. Mrs. Sherry, with limp underwear in her hand, stared after the boys as they walked toward the front of the house. When the boys had turned off Bison Avenue, they walked in silence over the cement sidewalk. Down the road, from time to time, a dust devil spun, snatching up papers, dust, debris, lifting them high, carrying them high into the air, and leaving them finally to sink slowly down again. Step on a crack, Forbesy sang. Break your mother's back. Brian sang.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?